So I got the privilege of introducing our special speaker. Can't hear it? Okay, how's that? Is that better? We'll have to, for all of us folks that sit toward the back, we'll have to tell Brother Stevens that he has to hold it closer because I can't half hear back there. But anyway, I guess that's the reason he wanted me to start out this morning. It is good to see you. We got special prayer requests or anything over here? And I'd also like to remind you, make sure and check in when you come in so that we'll know that you're here. When Gary was our teacher, he could spot people that were here and they never checked in. And so I got a list the other day of everybody had missed 2 or 3 weeks from our class. And I was going to call them all, and I said, well, you know, I think I saw those folks there. And I called one or two of them. They said, well, we were there, but they hadn't checked in. So that keeps our records. You know, our records might be, we might have 500 extra people around. There was 208 on the whole adult church. There was 285 names that had missed 3 weeks in a row. Now, some of them had been here and they hadn't checked in. But that's enough for a big church if we had all 285 of them, not counting, I forget how many children was on that list. It would have made a great big church. So let's make sure and check in so that everybody will know you're here. And then if you do actually miss 2 or 3 Sundays, Brother Stevens will be to see you. So you don't want that to happen. I know the last lady he went to visit is no longer with us. So I told him if I get in the hospital, I want him to come and see me. I just don't want him to sing to me. But anyway, all joking aside, we did lose 2 of our members this past week, and that's something that's facing us all. And we need to be prepared for it. And we need to learn to love one another. I tell you what, Linda and I just keep on marveling at the attendance, how it stayed up and how the spirit has really stayed up with all the stuff that's going on. And the giving's up, and baptisms last week, and everything. We've got a lot to be thankful for in this church. We really do. We need to be thankful for each other. And I appreciate you being here. Let's see, I didn't even get the bulletin. You guys are intelligent enough, you can read your announcements yourselves, I think. I don't know if there's anything real important in there. They know it's all true. That's all they're worried about. I don't see anything other than Jeanette Smith and the death of her mother, Grace Jenkins, which we've taken care of that, and June Puma and the death of her husband. Lynn and I went to the funeral home, the visitation. And I'll tell you what, to be their age, they were nice-looking folks, and we'll miss them. And you folks that are not very old right now, you need to be careful because it won't be long before you will be old. I can remember when I first came to this church 20-some years ago, they sent me into Bob Miller's class, which Bob was teaching the senior adults over in the gym. And when we walked out, they were all walking like I walk now. And I told Linda, I said, they've put us in the creepers class because they're just creeping across the parking lot to get to the main service. And then we ended up going into Steve McNeely's class, which turned into Gary's class, which turned into this class. And I'm so thankful that we have a good church to come to. You need to be thankful for it. We need to all be inviting people to come to it and be glad when we have visitors and stuff and make them welcome. And we have, take off the list, Jason Smith is fine. This is something Karen Smith had on here. Just needs car in God's time. Joel Johnson is at home. Still pray for Joel. And let's see, there you are. And he's getting along better?
A little bit stronger every day.
Well, good, good, good. That's an answer to prayer. Any other request I need to put on here before we pray?
Mark,
yes.
Cecil Hall, we've been praying for his daughter on our prayer list. He texted me during the week and said she got her baby 5.5 pound baby girl.
So it's a little girl?
Yeah, I believe it's a little girl. It's another 5.5 pounds.
It was a grandchild, anyway. Whichever one. Okay, that's good. Anything else?
Yes, sir. Tammy on the list. She's been sick for almost a week now. They're apart. She seems to be going there for a weekend to get her IV on Friday just for dehydration.
Have you all still got the little baby?
We do.
Well, is it a girl, was it? How's she get?
She's growing.
Well, good. Good.
She's a little better.
You all may not know this, but they have taken charge of a newborn baby that was addicted to drugs, and that her mother couldn't take care of her, and they've I guess, are you trying to adopt her? Or, well, I don't blame you. She's a beautiful little girl. She really is. And I think that's something great that they would do that and take a stranger's baby in to help her. And so but anyway, anything else? Carol Ferguson? Oh, me. Well, that doesn't sound good. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Sir. What is her name?
My name is Charlotte Mays.
Charlotte?
Mays is her name. Annis Mays.
Okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
Annis Mays.
Annis, okay. And she had a stroke? All right, anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Okay. And you'll have to help me with the name.
Tamika.
Okay, Tamika. I used to wear hearing aids and then I threw them away, so I got tired of them. Let me hear everything. I didn't want to. I'm serious. That's the honest truth. I spent $3,500 on them, and I decided that was the worst $3,500 I'd ever spent.
I spent $5,000 on mine.
Well, you can hear what you want to on those, can't you?
Yeah, $5,000.
Okay. Well, that was my biggest problem. I could hear her finally. So not your wife, my wife. I might enjoy hearing your wife, but my wife, she knows me pretty well, so. Yes, I hear about it about every day.
We minister several Christians at John Sevier Center, and some of them are getting pretty anxious what's going to be their living outcome.
Yes, the city has agreed to let a developer develop the John Sevier Hotel into a private thing that's going to have luxury apartments and businesses and stuff like that, because it's the most premier building in Johnson City. But it's been housing for the last several years people who are less fortunate than most of us. And we've had a ministry there for a number of years too, going down once a week and preaching to them, visiting with them. And so we need to remember those folks. They say that they're not going to do anything until everybody's been put in a permanent home of some kind, not a nursing home, but an actual home. So now, whether that is going to be what ends up being, I don't know. And when are you guys going on your trip?
The 12th.
Leaving the 12th. And you're going to where?
He's going to go on the app. Jerry's coming back.
So you two are the ones from our church going.
Jerry, we have four going.
Yeah, four going. Are you going to go over with them?
No.
Well, they'll get something done then.
We have a project done.
Yes, that's right. Well, we're talking about the pastor's daughter lives in what's the country?
Micronesia.
And
the capital of Micronesia is Pohnpei, and that's where they are.
Well, they had a mudslide at their house. This is not the first time it's happened, I don't think. But this time it came on into the house and destroyed part of the house. So they're going, Buddy and Jerry and some other guys that are friends with Pastor Stevens are going over there to build. Well, I know that. I mean, they're from away from here, so I can understand people from other parts of the country being that way. But they're all going over there and rebuild that wall, or build a wall rather, to keep that from happening again. And so we need to be praying for them. And I appreciate Buddy being able to go and do that kind of work. And Jerry and his wife go to all kinds of mission work. And I heard a long time ago, Scotty Carrier was here preaching, and when he was a missionary. And I don't remember what he preached about or anything else, but it was about missions pretty much. And he said something that stuck with me for, goodness, I guess maybe 20 years. He said, if you can't go, you can send. And I've tried to make that a goal in my life, to help send. And because, well, I guess I could go, but...
We'd
rather you not. And so would the Lord. So the Lord's blessed me to where I can help send a little bit. And that's one of the best investments you can make in our church, is faith promise giving. And you don't have to have your name on the list to do that. You can just put it in a tithing envelope and mark for missions. And it'll get to missions. And our church is one of the givenest churches that's ever been. And that's one of the best investments. It's better than the stock market, I'll guarantee you. I've experienced both of them. And I've never been blessed by the stock market. But I have been blessed by mission giving. I really have. And keep that in mind. When somebody's going out and doing something that you don't want to do, and you're not going to do, you need to help them go do it. And that's through giving. Let's go to the Word in prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for a day that we come together in freedom. I thank you for our country. I pray for our president and the leaders of our country that they would do right and do what you want them to do. And I pray that you give them wisdom. And I pray for our services here today at Buffalo Ridge that you be with Pastor Stevens and help him as he teaches and he preaches. And may every word that's said be exactly what you want said. I pray for all these folks that are on the prayer list. I pray for Cecil Hall's granddaughter and new granddaughter, and that you'd bless her. And I pray for Tammy Williams, that you'd help her, or help her doctors find out what's actually wrong with her and help her to get better. I pray for Carol Ferguson, that may be facing foot surgery, that you'd be with her. I pray for Anna's, one of our classmates' friend or mother that had a stroke. And I pray for Tamika, whatever her prayer request was. And I'm sure there's lots of unspoken requests in here today. And pray that you'd be with each one of those. And do be with Pastor Stevens. He brings the lesson to us today. And thank you for him and his wife and the great job they've been doing as our leaders right now. And I continue to pray for our deacons. There's several of them in this class, that you give them wisdom and help them find exactly the man that you've already ordained to be our new pastor. I'm looking forward for him and his family being here. So we need to be lifting him up in prayer and his family up in prayer, that they will know exactly what your will is for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Thank you, Brother Larry.
Larry was saying that he said, whatever you do, if I get sick, don't come to the hospital and sing.
I've already told him that.
Oh, you did.
Before you was in here, I didn't want to embarrass you.
Yeah. Friends like that, you don't need enemies. I thank the Lord for those who have donated. We're still praying that God will give money towards it. They're going to be there 2 weeks. Let me tell you what the food is very expensive over there, and we want to make sure they're well taken care of. So if the Lord leads you that direction, see me on it. A round tub of ice cream. You all remember that $4.99 round tub of ice cream? It's $20 over there because everything's imported. So you get no ice cream. Okay, all right. Let's take our Bibles and let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, if you will, please. Chapter 12, we're moving on. Now we come here to the fourth dispensation, which God is working, and it's the story of Abraham and bringing about the Jewish nation. And I hope you have your pencil to mark there in verses 1 through verse 3. I want you to notice the four I wills. The four I will. I want to read this and then go back and give you somewhat of an outline on it. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into land that I will show. There's the first, I will show thee. 2, verse 2, the second one, and I will make of thee a great nation. Third one is, I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And the fourth one is in verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and thee shall all the families of the Lord of the earth be blessed. Now this is a tremendous four great truths concerning Israel. I think I challenged you one day, you ought to pray daily for Israel as a nation. I now pray for America. But America, Israel is not blessed because America protects them, but America is blessed because we protect Israel. We want to get that in the right order, because any time you bless Israel, God is happy about that. His first one is from thy father's house, verse 1, to learn that I will show thee. Here he's dealing with the place God will give, the land of Israel. The land of Israel, if you look it on the maps, not much to it. Yeah, I think, New Hampshire, about that size, whatever, not much. But that's God's promised land. And I tell people daily, when I pray daily about the people, about the promises, about the prophecy, and about the place that God has given Israel, because it is the most sacred place on the planet of this earth is Israel. And I've been offered to have my way paid a few times in my ministry and didn't go because other things prevented that. But I tell people, I'd rather go during the millennial anyway. No one's going to shoot me. You know, over there right now, you could get shot pretty easy. And so we need to remember this. Here, the place God will give them. And Israel today is not occupying all the land that God has promised them. And he will do that one day, give them all of that land, because the Arab nations won't let them have it. Or Israel's done everything it can to bring about peace. It's even given up some of its land to its enemies to bring peace, and it hasn't done any one ounce of good, because the enemies have one goal in mind, and that is to destroy Israel. Now keep in mind that when you study the Old Testament, there are many nations. The Philistines, I call them the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, the Electrolytes, and all those lights. All those nations are gone, but Israel's still here. And so we're thankful today for the place God will give. And then notice, secondly, the people they will become. That's the second I will in verse 2. And I will make of thee a great nation. Now, I got thinking about that. If there's one thing today, Israel is not as a great nation. Politically, militarily, in any way whatsoever. But it is referring to the future here, when God will set up that nation and it will be a tremendous, tremendous nation. So not only the place he will give, but the people they will become. I will make of thee a great nation. And then thirdly, I will bless them that bless thy name, and thou shalt be a blessing. The third, the preeminence they will have. Look at there, the preeminence there, the third one. He says, I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Again, God has blessed America, I believe, because we have been on the side of Israel. We went through, I think, 8 years where we had a president that just turned his back on Israel and more toward the Arab nations. But God has changed that. And I'm glad to our leaders have seen that. The fourth one is in verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. In thee, those who look at Israel and recognize this tremendous people. Israel is the next, well, Israel is the most hated people in the world. The only reason why we're hated by a lot of countries is because we are protecting Israel. And because of that, we're hated. But they're surrounded. How many remember way back in the Six-Day War of 1967? How many remember that event? Few of us only. That's interesting. The Six-Day War, I was in college training for the ministry, and remember that so well because that week, the Six-Day War, it looked as though Israel was truly going to be wiped off of the face of the earth. I mean, literally, Egypt and all those surrounding nations had converged together and went with one goal and one objective by to destroy Israel. And I remember I was a sophomore in college. You know how sophomores are, don't you? You know what a sophomore is, don't you? Two Greek words, sophos, moros, wise fool. You know, a sophomore always has all the answers. They're just not too sure what the questions are. Anyway, we were sitting around drinking coffee trying to figure out how God was going to spare Israel through all this because they were outnumbered. I think it was 200 or 300 to 1. And yet God, I believe, supplied an army of angels and protected them. And a lot of the Arabs, the Egyptian people who fought in that war said, we did not outnumber them. They outnumbered us. Well, that was impossible. There wasn't that many people, Jews over there. Wasn't that possible? But God took care of it and supplied what was a tremendous miracle. And I believe we will see here, I'm doing with Bible prophecy on Sunday night, and we'll be getting to Armageddon eventually, if I'm here. You know, you heard Larry, he's trying to get rid of me so quiet this morning. He just, no, seriously, we're praying for the pastor to come. But we don't know if we'll get that far or not. But we know God is working here. Now let's look on down, and so verse four. So here's the what we call the Abrahamic covenant. Now it is a unconditional covenant. God said he's going to do this. God said he's going to do this. God said he's going to do this. God said he's going to do this 4 times. And may I say, with all the dogmatism I can, God never goes back on his promises. So God is protecting Israel. He'll restore them as a nation fully. And God has already made them. One thought of prophecy there is it talked about one day, in a day, God will make them a nation. Anybody know what happened in 1948? What happened? Anybody? Somebody say it loud. Became a nation in 1948. And God, by the way, what president... what world leader offered the first vote in recognition of Israel as a nation? Anybody know? Truman did it. I ought to make you Democrats happy here if you happen to be one this morning. Except they've come a long way from what they've used to be, too. But I think about the fact that Truman, we often think of Truman, we think of the guy that fired MacArthur, but he also was the guy who first man to recognize Israel as a nation. And God honored that. And by the way, they tried to talk him out of his cabinet. General Marshall and others there said, don't do this. It will have more enemies than you could ever dream of if you do this. And he said, I'm going to do it. And he cussed a little bit and quoted the Bible. That was Truman. That's the way Truman operated. Anyway, that's the way it sounds like the president we have today, doesn't it, you know? And I'm not for that cussing. You can say an awful lot without having to use that language. Amen? You might want to text him, tweet or him, and say, quit that. We don't need that. But I do appreciate his stand. So they left. Now, we look at verse 4. Underline a name here. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. That's the biggest mistake that he made, to bring Lot along with him. Because Lot is about as carnal of a person, worldly, as you can see. Matter of fact, if I did not have the New Testament there in a verse that points out that vexed Lot's righteous soul, I would not have believed he would have been saved. All the indications here. You know, and I think God does that for a reason. Sometimes we think that person's saved and that person's not saved. I think we're going to have to leave that one up to God to make that final decision. And so we need to realize that. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now, he was 75 years old. You're never too old to serve God. Amen? A lot of you would have said amen, but you were too tired at your age to say amen. All the older people couldn't get it out. 75, he's just really beginning his life as a true man of God at 75 years of age. Now, he lives a long time, and here I am. I'm, 33, 34, and I have a long way to go, but, you believe that, I have some swamp land for you to buy in Charleston and build a house on. You believe that one. All right. And so he fibled, and Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls they had gotten at Haran, and they went forth out of the land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. It's very interesting. I do not like moving. Do you like moving? When I moved from Charleston, South Carolina, to North Carolina, and in the meantime, I was helping a church up in Troy, Ohio, but I came home to Charleston to help get things ready to go up to North Carolina, then go back to Troy, and I got sick. I mean, when I say I got sick, I was 10 days in a motel room, not too sure who I was. Marilyn put me there and just tucked me in and said, go to sleep. But anyway, we were there for 10 days and I had to, and then they packed everything and brought it up and put it, we have a pretty good sized garage, and put it in the garage. I couldn't even find my shoes. I think for a while we dug through and found them. I had to wear slippers. But after 10 days, I told Marilyn, we got to get back up Troy, Ohio, and we went up there. But the thought of moving to a strange place. Now, I know a lot of people in North Carolina, so that was okay. But here's a 75-year-old man. Many people say retirement. He's headed up, and he's just going to begin a tremendous life and serving. But he brings Lot with him in the land of Canaan. Now, I want you to just jump ahead a little bit. Well, let's go down to verse 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram. Now, his name later will be Abraham. And to thy seed will I give this land. Now, he's repeating that. That's one of the four I wills here. So we're going to repeat it. And to give thee the land. And there build thee an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And there builded he an altar. You know, when God does something in your life, be sure to build an altar. Let God, worship God. Give God the glory and the credit. Here's Abraham. He's going to begin a brand new life. First thing he does is build an altar. Build an altar. And then look at verse 8. I want you to see a couple names here in verse 8. And he removed from thence into a mountain on the east of Bethel. Now, underlying that name, Bethel, is mentioned twice in verse 8. And pitched his tent there, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. Now, the name Bethel means house of God. That's the name. That's what it means, house of God. Beth, house, El, God. And then Hai means heap of ruin. Heap of ruin. You know, I thought about this. Here is Abraham. He is right between the house of God name and the ruin, the heap. You know, you and I live today in this world. This world is a heap of mess. The word itself means heap of ruin. Our world is ruined. But aren't you thankful for the house of God, the church, that brings refreshment to our soul in a world headed for ruin? I don't know how often I have so many funerals in my life, and I've had funerals, Grace Jenkins' funerals and Brother Pummel's funeral was a blessing to me, but I've had them where they didn't know the Lord. Those are hard because those are people of all they know is they've lived in a ruined life instead of choosing the right God and the right place to live. Be thankful for your church. I think Larry said that well. Be thankful for your church. Why? As you live in this wicked world today, thank God you have Bethel. Now that name, I want you to notice, first of all, what is Bethel? I want to give you four thoughts on that name Bethel as we go through scriptures a little bit. Number one, it's a place of revelation. Bethel was the place where God revealed himself to Abraham there again. And he built an altar there, and he went to Bethel, and God began to speak to him and use him. You know, that's what the church is all about. Every Sunday night, every Wednesday when you come, you ought to get something from God. Amen? That's what it's all about. Not a revelation as we think, but from the Word of God. Get something you really need. I think we all ought to go to church expecting that. And then it's not only a place of revelation, we're going to see it in a minute here, it's a place of repentance. Now what happens here? Go down to verse 10. I'll go down to verse 9. Abraham journeyed, going on still toward the south. Smart man, goes to the south, not the north. South shall rise again. Amen. All right, south shall rise again. I'm reminded of the fellow that didn't want to fight for the south, didn't fight for the north. So he wore a blue jacket and gray pants, and both sides shot him. But I come to verse 10 here. And there was a famine in the land. Now, from verse 10 down to verse 20, up in verse 8 and 9, he built an altar. He had communion with God. God was doing something in his life. And then all of a sudden, what's he do here? There's no mention of God in verse 10 through verse 20. You know why? Because he's out of the will of God. He's out of the will of God. Now there are, I believe, at least three, if not four ways God reveals his will. And it's good to be in the will of God. Number one, he does it through his word. Amen? You don't do something contrary to this book. Second, you do it, he reveals his will through the Holy Spirit. When my wife and I, after we retired at 67 from 40 years of ministry, we decided, Lord, what are you going to have to do? And I got impressed on my mind through the Holy Spirit. We were to get involved in interim work, helping churches without pastors. And somebody said, well, how are you going to get started? I said, if the Holy Spirit led me, then he'll open the doors. And we've done 12 of them now. God's done it. I have not sought any interim. They've all sought me through the Holy Spirit. In his leading. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't God's leading. I noticed in recognizing the pastoral staff, and they got my name in the bulletin this week, and they said, I have done 10 interims. Well, if that was so, I wouldn't be here. You're number 12. But God's in that. And I had that impression. Thirdly, he operates, and this is the last one, but you be careful with it, he operates through circumstances. Now, he is operating through circumstances. And if you don't have circumstances backed up by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit, you'll make the wrong decision. Bible says there was what? A famine in the land. That's circumstances. We better get out of here. There's a famine. And so he goes down to Egypt here. God did not lead him. Matter of fact, according to Scripture, God sent him from where he was to Canaan land. What's he doing in Egypt if God led him to Canaan land? Hello? He's out of the will of God. He lets circumstances of a famine make his decision. I remember years ago, I'll never forget it, very fine young man with his wife and two children, godly children at that time. He came into my office and he said, "You know, preacher, I hate to tell you this, but God's moving us." I said, "Boy, we're going to miss you, Larry." His name was Larry, too. I said, "Where are you going?" And he gave me that. And I says, "Well," he said, "I'm going to get a big promotion. I'm going to make more money." I said, "Well, that's good, Larry." I said, "What church are you going to be part of?" He looked at me. "You know, I haven't checked that out." And then he told me later there was not a good Bible-believing church in the area. By the way, he lost his kids. He made a decision based on circumstances. You got to be careful doing that kind of thing. It cost him more than what he would have received by a better position and better possessions. We need to be careful about those things. I know he meant well, but then when there's not a church for your children, you're in trouble. It was way out in the country someplace. Anyway, I just want to say, don't base things on circumstances. Back it up first by the scripture, back it up by the Spirit of God, and then circumstances will be okay. And so we find in verse 10, "And there went a famine in the land, and Abraham went down." I thought this is interesting. He went down. I'll tell you, he went down physically, but he went down spiritually. He went down spiritually, and the Egyptians who served there, for a famine was grievous in the land. And then he does a strange thing. Now he married Sarai, was a very beautiful woman, even at her age. And it came to pass, I don't mean to indicate you can't be pretty when you're old. My wife's beautiful. I don't care what you think, I think she's beautiful. Where are you, honey? Yeah. Well, you at least say, "Honey, I think you're handsome," but she refuses to do that this morning. But anyway. He entered to Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, "Behold, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon." That means she's beautiful. Even at an older woman, she's beautiful. Notice I didn't say old woman. Around here, I'm very careful. Do two things you don't do. Don't ask women their age. Amen, fellas? That's called the doctrine of stupidity. You'll pay the price. And I like to call them girls. And they'll say, "Oh, he calls us girls." Yeah, well, aren't you? All right. "And it came to pass when he came near into Egypt, he said unto Sarah his wife, 'Behold, now I know that thou art a fair, beautiful woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see that, thou shalt say that this is his wife, and they will kill me, and they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me.'" Notice, "well with me." Now, this guy is not thinking of his wife at this time, is he? Hello, guys. Don't you ever pull a trick like that. Anything? For thy sake, "and my soul shall live because of thee." Now, would you write by verse 13, this reference, chapter 20, verse 5. 20, verse 5. This is not the first time Abraham pulls this. He'll do it again with Abimelech. And he points out, if you'll turn to chapter 20 for just a moment, when he's caught again, because Sarah is a beautiful, beautiful woman here. And look there, and Abraham, look there in verse 11 and verse 12. "And Abraham said, 'Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place, and they will slay me for my wife's sake. And yet indeed, she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife.'" Now, that's a half-truth. Now, understand this. A half-truth is a whole lie. Isn't that an exaggeration? He's trying to protect his own life. Now, back, you know, keep in mind here that you don't... It was his half-sister that he married, but had a different mother than he had. And so, but now he does this twice. And by the way, you'll find later on he'll pass it on to his son Isaac. Does the same thing. We have to be careful the decisions we make, because they can be very costly, and we can pass our decisions on to our children to make wrong decisions. Hello? Be careful. "And it came to pass when Abraham was come to Egypt," verse 14, the Egyptians beheld a woman, that she was very fair, very beautiful. And the princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. Now keep in mind, ladies, you have come a long way. Women were not thought very highly of back in those days. They were simply a tool in the life of whoever to take a woman and use her, and wasn't concerned about anything else. You come a long ways, lady. That's called grace for all of us. And he would have taken her, having went to his harem. Whew, man, I'd have shot that guy if I was Abraham. I'd have got me the best rifle, but they didn't have it in those days. But anyway, and shot that guy. But Abraham was out of the will of God. He was willing to sacrifice his wife's body to another man to save his own life. I have a feeling later on you're going to find that Sarah will lose some respect for her husband. I want my wife to respect me. I don't want to lose that. Do you want to lose that, fellas? Treat them with dignity and be thankful for them as God has given them to you. And so we find in verse 16 and verse 15, then Abraham, the princess also Pharaoh, saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken in Pharaoh's house. He entered and he entreated Abram well for his sake, and he had sheep and oxen, he asked his men servants, maid servants, he asked camels. And the Lord, boy, aren't you glad for the interventions of the Lord in our lives? Whew. How many of you would have made mistakes in your life if the Lord didn't intervene? Every hand ought to go up. Don't you have to raise your hand. If God had not intervened, I would have made some dumb, stupid blunder. I've already made a lot of them. But there's certain ones I am so thankful. I look back. Whew. Only because God loved me enough and cared enough and wanted to use me, he intervened. And that's what he did with Abram here. And he entered, and the Lord, verse 17, plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? He found out. And why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to be my wife. Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and get out of here. That's John Stevens' translation. Make like a, and leave, whatever. And Pharaoh commended his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he did. Now I have to stop here, but I'm going to go into chapter 13 next week a little bit, because that Bethel was not only a place of revelation when God revealed things to him there in chapter 12 in the first part of it, but it also was a place of repentance. Look at verse 1. I'll just give it quickly. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him in the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And he went on his journey from the south into Bethel, and the place where his tent had been in the beginning, between Bethel and Hari. And into this place of the altar, which he made there at the first, there Abraham called the name of the Lord. From verses 10 to the end of chapter 12, he doesn't talk to God. But we come chapter 13, he comes back to where? Back to Bethel. And that's a place of repentance. We're going to go further on that. Lord bless you, you're dismissed. And we'll see you in church. And remember this, we have men out there who will sheep people who try to leave during Sunday school. All right.